Today we are continuing our sermon series on the healthy missional markers of churches. They are markers that come out of Scripture that help us to align our heart with the heart of Jesus and our ministries with the heart of Jesus so that we might follow the Holy Spirit wherever He goes. And today we're talking about transforming communities through compassion, mercy, and justice. So have you ever heard the phrase, "Oh, there goes the neighborhood"? Usually it's not a very positive comment, is it? Usually it talks about some difficulty, some struggle, where the neighborhood seems like it's in a downward spiral and people are having difficulties in the neighborhood. You know, we might think in our own minds, though, you know, when people are struggling, when they're in trouble, we might think, well, you know, don't they maybe deserve that? You know, they maybe make their own problems. Doesn't the Bible say that we reap what we sow? So obviously, if they're struggling, they must have sown some bad seeds. Well, that way of thinking is one way of making sense, really, out of the struggles and brokenness in our world. But is it right? Is it really scriptural? Is it biblical? So we think about this for a moment. Did anyone get hail last night? Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of storms that went by, and, you know, it would be hard to attribute that and say, you know, you deserve that, right? None of us would say that. You know, if you watched the radar while the sirens were blowing, down in the basement, of course, right? The storms came by and just skirted like the edge of Wheaton, but, you know, maybe it went right over the top of you. And you and I, we have no control over where those storms go. You know, they just come upon us. And so in the same way, we might think that all we can do is really ask for God's mercy. And so if we consider that for a moment, how many of the struggles that people experience in their lives do we attribute to their own personal behavior? So it's their own fault, it's their problems, it's their doing. But sometimes, you know, we can make these direct correlations, but if we really dig in, if we really look down deep, it really starts to break down as we try to assign blame, because a lot of our difficulties and struggles and problems are extremely complex. They're extremely difficult. And so what's at the root of all this? The late Jack Benny once remarked when he received an award, he said, "I really don't deserve this. But I have arthritis, and I don't deserve that either." You know, so the resources of these healthy missional markers, they remind us that the Scripture points this out, that the foundation of people's struggles, at the heart of the problem, it's not, now get this, it's not personal behavior. It's a condition. And that condition is sin. Sin is what Jesus came to die for on the cross, to put sin to death. I mean, that is the gospel that we preach. That is what grace is, right? That it's not about changing our behavior. It's about changing our condition. It's about the sin in our lives that Jesus came by his grace to die for, to redeem us, to set us free. So when we take a look at the condition of our neighbors in our world, we see that the effects of sin really are, they're complex, they're widespread, they're far-reaching. And yes, it's complicated. It's tremendously difficult. We'd oftentimes like to just throw up our hands and say, "Ah, somebody else is going to have to deal with this." But, you know, compassion and mercy and justice, love compels us. It doesn't give us an option. It compels us to address and to act on these issues. You know, if we think about these things in our society right now, just the tensions, the issues going on, you know, race is huge. You know, for black males in their 30s, think about this, 1 in every 10 is in prison or in jail on any given day. 1 in 10. Now, the Black Lives movement is going on strong right now. My aunt was telling me that, you know, back in the 60s, she felt that they had made great, you know, the country had made great strides with racial tensions, but she says today it feels almost worse. It feels more difficult. And so that's a reality in our world. What about hunger? You know, we live in the wealthiest nation, but 14.5% of households in America, that's about 49 million people, it's about 16 million children, struggle to put food on their table here in the United States. And domestic violence, every 15 seconds, a woman is battered. Three or more women each day are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends. That's an issue. Mass incarceration. 7.3 million U.S. citizens are in prison, jail, or on probation. That reflects one in every 31 adults. That reaches us. That affects us. What's at the heart of this condition? And human trafficking. You know, in a world where slavery is illegal, 27 million people, and that's a conservative figure, are enslaved today, either in commercial sex slaves or forced labor or child soldiers. Those are harsh statistics in our world. But compassion, mercy, and justice, then, is a huge issue. Richard Stearns, he's author of A Hole in the Gospel, he warns the church, he says, if the church neglects these problems, it leaves a huge hole, a gaping hole in our gospel. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the real gospel is very concerned with issues of mercy and compassion and justice. And I'm going to call these CMJ, so I can not say so many words. So why do people come to the church? They look to the church for help. Partly because the church has the answer to the root cause of all these evils in the world, this massive, pervasive, complex issue of sin. Jesus came to change our condition, not our behavior. So we need to be humble enough to recognize that each of us are sinful. Each of us has sin issues in our lives that contribute to the sin issues in the world. We are culpable. But we also recognize that even though we're flawed, our efforts are founded in God's work of redemption and God's work of restoration in Jesus Christ. So my hope is that when we hear the phrase, "There goes the neighborhood," is that it's a phrase of joy and celebration, because the neighborhood is being transformed by the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we are showing up as the hands and feet of Jesus in our neighborhoods and doing the work of CMJ at home and around the world. And so what are the elements that cause healthy missional churches to be transformational in their communities? Well, first, we're burdened for hurting people in our community and beyond. We're burdened. So compassion and justice I've heard described like this. Compassion, if you think of a person in a river, compassion reaches in to pull that person out of the current, out of the water. But justice goes deeper. Justice walks upstream to find out, why are the people in the river in the first place? So that's a way of thinking about compassion and justice issues. Jesus inaugurated his ministry, if you remember. He was quoted saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, so that the oppressed, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know, this message is certainly for the whole world, isn't it? But it's specific here. Jesus uses specific people mentioned. The poor, they get good news. The prisoners find freedom. The blind receive sight, and the oppressed are set free. So Jesus' whole ministry is set around defeating sin and its pervasive effects in our lives, but also in our whole society. So why do we feel that tug on our heart when we see people suffering? Why is it that, you know, we just have a difficult time walking away? We can walk away, but why is it so hard? Because we're Jesus followers, and these things tug on Jesus' heart. And so we are commissioned by Christ through the Holy Spirit to go out into the world and minister compassion and mercy and justice to those who are in need. We are Christ followers who speak the whole gospel, not just of forgiveness, but of forgiveness and restoration, new life. So there's another verse that helps us understand this link in the gospel. It's the one we read in Mark 12. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength." And the second is this. Very good. So as a Christian, you know, we can't separate our love for God and our love for neighbor. If your neighbor is suffering, You know, Jesus died for that neighbor, that they might be set free, and you and I to be set free to go out and share the whole good news of the gospel. So when we're burdened for hurting people, the transformation is about to come to your neighborhood. And that leads us to the impact of the gospel. So for CMJ Ministries of Healthy Missional Churches, you know, in Matthew 25, There's followers of Jesus discover this interesting thing that they almost unknowingly have this ability to see and address the hurts and causes of hurt in their communities. So if we look at this passage in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 35, it says, Jesus speaking, or the king in this parable speaking, but we can attribute it to Jesus, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then the righteous all say, "Well, when did we do this to you, Jesus? When did this happen?" And in verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Why do you think Jesus chose these particular situations to describe the least of these? You know, I think it's because the good news is for those in need, isn't it? I mean, we all need forgiveness, but forgiveness is transformational. It changes communities. It changes people. And Jesus isn't just concerned with our spiritual lives. He's concerned with our whole life transformation. And he had compassion on the hungry. You know, when we feed the hungry, we feed who? If you're new here, this is the interactive part. I'm trying to teach them, you know, when we feed the hungry, we feed? Jesus. Right, yes. Jesus is always the answer. So that's why we volunteer at the food drop. You know, it's a big deal because we know that we're feeding Jesus when people come and receive food, when we come and receive food. You know, it's an amazing thing. People are talking about it in the community. It's exciting, but I was talking to a woman who said, "Oh, great, I've been waiting for this." I thought, wow, that's great. So compassion to the hungry. Jesus had compassion on the thirsty. And when we provide clean water for communities in the Congo, we're providing clean water for who? Yes, Jesus. And so, you know, I know that in this congregation, we sponsor well over a dozen Covenant Kids Congo that helps with that very issue. And when the kids when our students go to CHIC, they'll raise, I'm guessing, in the neighborhood of tens of thousands of dollars to help provide clean water in the Congo for Jesus. And so Jesus had compassion on a stranger. And we recognize that when we welcome a stranger in, when we help a stranger find community and home, that we are helping who? Jesus. Oh, this is great. And so, we seek to welcome people of all kinds of backgrounds and differences to belong, to be part of the family of God. And Jesus had compassion on those who need the basic necessities of life. And you know that when we help people with those things, we're doing it for who? For Jesus. You guys are awesome. So, you know, we've helped the Spirit Lake community over the years and been a part of that, you know, with other churches and partnering, and it's been a great ministry. We continue to help with the supplies for school children. There's a box out there. And, you know, when we're doing that, we are making impact because Jesus has called us to that, and we're supporting those who are in the front lines, like Mike and Libby Flowers, who are missionaries there on the reservation. So Jesus had compassion on the sick and those in prison. And, you know, this congregation surrounds people, you know, who have health problems with love and encouragement. And you're there with meals and rides and whatever it means, a kind word. So why do we do it? Because when we're showing compassion and mercy to someone who's sick, we're doing it for who? Because when, same with those who are incarcerated. When we're doing that, we're doing it for Jesus. And so we look around and we ask, you know, what places in our community, in our communities, where are these kinds of works needed. And then we ask, well, why don't we do something? Because if we help these people, we are helping who? Jesus. So you might think, you know, it's no big deal, Pastor Tim. That's what being a good neighbor is. Well, you know what I say to that? Wow. Because that's the same attitude that the people Jesus was talking to had. They didn't even realize that they were doing these things to Jesus. But they were. Because when they do that to someone else, they do it to him. And that's you. That's us. That's the church. So when we align our hearts with the heart of Jesus and do compassion and do justice and do mercy, well, then we might say, there goes the neighborhood for Jesus. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If you want to get some more information on all the kinds of compassion, mercy, and justice ministries, I invite you to go to the Cove Church website, / what we do, mercy and justice, or you can follow the drop downs. There's an incredible amount of stuff on there. I really encourage you to see what the church is doing, what we are doing together as we partner in Christ's name.